I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
All right, guys, we'll start off with a couple different stories here. And I want to get to, first off, the road sign that's been stolen. You know, I did the joke yesterday. My dad is a highway worker. And how would it go? My dad was a highway worker, and he was stealing.
I knew he was stealing at work. I knew because I saw
all the
signs
were there. Yeah, I did it yesterday. And I already forgot the damn joke, so good for me. well, this sign has a rude-sounding name to a degree, I guess. Cheeky thieves keep stealing street signs for Daddy Hole Lane. Good old Daddy Hole. Who doesn't want some Daddy Hole? Joe, do you want Daddy Hole? I wonder what my wife would do if I stole a street sign that said Daddy Hole and just put it up in our living room. Because like
she would not be surprised.
Have ever,
she would think I gave it to you.
Have I ever told you the story of... So when we moved into our first house together, mm-hmm. we had two refrigerators in there. And I wanted one in the basement because I like to have guys over for games and just fill that refrigerator with beer. She wanted to move it in the garage. I said, I don't want it in the garage. I just want it downstairs in the basement. So we compromised, and she moved it into the garage while I was gone. And it started this big argument, and I'm like, don't ask me about anything for the house. Paint the house pink. I don't care. Put whatever you want. You do.
How was it a compromise that she moved it?
That's the joke.
Okay.
That's the joke. It's we compromised, and we did whatever she wanted. Then my wife goes to one of these, she goes like, shopping and finding, what is it, refined wood or drift wood or whatever and all that.
Reclaim wood, sorry.
I don't know what the hell it is. And buying all this, I said refined. How do you refine wood? Anyway, and then she buys a lantern, like, that you would see on the corner, and it's on top of a red hutch in our kitchen. So when I come home and I see that the refrigerator is in the garage and I walk upstairs and I see the lantern sitting on top of the hutch, I go, the hell is that? She goes, a lantern. Said, do we need it in case of the British attack again? Did you buy a horse as well so I can ride around town and let everyone know? The hell we need a lantern in our kitchen for? And it wasn't Coleman. So it's just those types of things. But if I had a Daddy Hole road in my man cave, which I'll never have a man cave, then I think it would be a good sign.
You want a Daddy Hole in your man cave?
I did a 4-minute story about a Daddy Hole sign.
Hey, get away from me, Joe. Keep it down over there.
That 420 sign from the road, the mile marker.
That's what time my alarm goes off. All right, so here's another story for you. Candace Cameron Bure. Why can't I do this?
Bure.
Says horror films can lead to...
I know Pavel Bure. That's his name.
That's who she married.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, her brother is what you might deem to be a super Christian. Kirk Cameron, right? He's always out there posting videos about it. He's doing a lot of Christian movies.
I just realized who you were talking about. Yeah. I was focused on the word Bure.
Well, you know, she was on the show Full House. You know her. You watch Full House. Joe, how often did Rob watch Full House?
Was she really on Full House?
Yeah, she was the oldest daughter on Full House.
You knew that. Stop.
I did not know that.
You've been watching Full House for how many years? How do you not remember the callback joke to you guys fighting when he said you know Full House?
But I thought I really knew she's playing.
By the way, if this doesn't prove that he doesn't know Full House, Rob was right.
That's right.
But I just get so tired of people trying to convince you that the things that we have today are, this is a portal to the devil. Shut up. It's a movie. It's a movie that someone created, even if it's based off a true story. These action movies, all the things that go on in life, everybody wants to blame. Watch your kids, talk to them.
Yeah. You know, Marilyn Manson's responsible.
I mean, everything. It's always got to be somebody else's fault. Like, even the girl that murdered her friend and said, oh, I did it because I watched Slender Man. It's like, no, you didn't. You did it because you're an a-hole. Yeah. You know, you got something wrong upstairs with you.
The Devil Rays issue really pisses me off.
It was a cooler name.
It's a real thing in Florida, and the uniform was better then.
Yeah. But didn't the new owners do that?
Yeah,
they succumbed to pressure. Yeah.
And then so she said on her podcast that again, all these things lead to horror. You ever see the woman break down Monster Energy drink?
No.
And how it's 666. Look at this. And then this means the devil's. And she's going through. You're like, no, it's an energy drink, and you're an a-hole. What are you talking about? Like, I don't get these people that do. Or at least come out and try to blame something like this that's so, like, inconsequential to what's actually happening. All right, let's get to this last story because I'm sure you guys will love this. We talk about this woman way too much, man. Bonnie Blue has been banned from OnlyFans. Her latest, and Ed, you might even remember this this story of this artist, but her latest thing was she wanted to do what she deemed a petting zoo. Mm-hmm. That's where she gets tied up, and anybody that comes in can do anything they want to her. And an OnlyFans said, all right, we're out. This is ridiculous. There was an artist. I should have looked this
up. That's where they draw the line?
Do you remember the artist that her whole thing, it was performance art. She went into a room and said anybody can come in and do anything they want to her. So they could like take her top off. Mm-hmm. They could put her arms in the air. They could make her sit Indian style. You know, whatever. You could do whatever you want to her. More people came in and harmed that woman than anything.
Do they?
And it just kind of shows you like, what are people doing? That's what you wanted to do to that person? Well, and go, I mean, if you guys read the story, it's horrific what happened to the woman that was doing performance art. And I don't know what you want to call this. There are so many, there's one OnlyFans model that offered to give her $2 million to stop being a total whore. So, and that's,
she can make more than that being a total whore.
Maybe, but she just cost herself, what they're saying, if her numbers are correct in what she makes, they said she just cost herself like $1.2 million.
Really?
Yeah. And she's 26 years old. She's a British porn star. Her name's real name is Tia Billinger. She did the 1,000 guys in a day, 1,057. She went down and she said she would pay tuition for any of the frat boys that whoever was the best lover amongst all the frat boys.
It's a shame that we didn't get on that promotion.
I'm telling you, man.
105,
really? I know.
That's a damn shame, man. How did we let that go?
Yeah. Hole in one. Oh, sorry. This isn't a golf tournament. But this is something too where like, and then she wanted to, again, get tied up in a glass box in central London and invite men to use her how they see fit. Like, what is wrong upstairs with this person?
I'm going to go there and pray with her.
Yeah. Do you? That's where you want to
pray.
Oh, I see right here. She was watching horror movies. You know what? I think
that's what it was.
Candace Cameron was right. That's your world of stupid.
Thank you very much, Jeremy Cowan. 410-583-1057. That's the number. That's all I would do with her. I'm not going in there.
No, I would. I would just. I'd go in that room and just ring that bell and go, shame, shame, shame.
I'm not going in there at all. Not in that.
By a soccer team.
Daily Line at 8:45, but on the other side. PFF named Kyle Hamilton the best safety in the league for 2025. True or false? Hamilton wins Defensive Player of the Year in the next 3 years. Another true or false? Hamilton becomes the highest paid safety ever in the next 24 months. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Pro Football Focus loves Kyle Hamilton, and there's a lot to love, Ed Norris. They say he's the best safety in the league for 2025. I'm loving that. Now, got a couple of true falses for you, Ed. Start off with you. True false. Kyle Hamilton wins Defensive Player of the Year in the next 3 years.
100%, I believe that. All right. I've been saying that for years.
True false. Hamilton becomes the highest paid safety ever in the next 24 months.
Well, Kirby Joseph is the highest paid safety now. 4 years, $86 million, yes. $21,000, $21 million. I'd say, yeah, he's good. The next contract would be the next big contract. Joseph is the highest paid safety in football right now from the Lions, and I think, yeah, Kyle will exceed that.
True, false. Kyle Hamilton wins Defensive Player of the Year in the next 3 years, Jeremy.
I'm going to say false, and I want you to hear why.
He's usually a pass rusher.
Only five safeties have ever won this award.
Ed Reed,
Troy Polamalu, yeah. Siegfried Leuenberger. Ken Pettis, and Cletus Tomlinson. You remember when Cletus Tomlinson?
Cletus!
Yeah. He won it in 91. But, you know, so...
I knew his dad.
But when it comes down to it, it's like he has to have kind of that perfect year where it's like, oh, I got six picks, I got six sacks, and all these tackles.
He'll need to have, like, you know, 80 tackles, 100 tackles, six sacks, probably five picks, you know, have a hold. But he can.
I think he can, and I think he should. It's just the way that the voting's gone. That's why I'm saying, because if you look every year.
But you got to throw touchdowns in there, too, which Ed Reed had. Yes. Ed Reed scored on defense as well. So he in one play, what do you have, a strip sack, fumble recovery.
Think
touchdown.
About all the plays that you had. Two of the best safeties of all time playing at the same time.
Right.
Just Ed Reed was way better than Troy, Steeler fans. but as you look at it, like
way better.
Both of those guys. I think Ed Reed. The only safety I even put on Ed Reed's level, and I thought he could have been better, was Sean Taylor. Like in recent years,
right? But he didn't have a long body of work.
Yeah.
So I mean, Ed Reed had a 108-yard interception return.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's
108-yard interception.
You got to throw that stuff in. That's the reason I agree with Jeremy.
He's just so exceptional.
Oh, yeah. False. I don't think he will win Defensive Player of the Year.
You need
other true false, Jeremy. Hamilton becomes the highest paid safety ever in the next 24 months.
True.
I think it's the easier one.
Yeah. If that doesn't happen, it means Kyle Hamilton said, "Hey, I don't like money. Pay me whatever you want to pay me." Because he is, right now, he's the best safety in the league, depending on how you, I mean, you can look at guys and go, hey, I really like Derwin James, and I really like this guy. Guys bring different things to the table, depending on what your team needs. Kyle Hamilton does everything. And outside of playing him at defensive tackle, you can literally play that man anywhere on the field and feel comfortable that he's going to make a play or be near the ball. So, he has to be the highest paid player at his position in the league. And it's not like safeties make a ton of money.
They don't.
Remember when we talked about this, Donovan Darius for the Jaguars, the first safety franchised, and then he got franchised again. He's the reason the rule that it goes up 20% because of what the Jaguars were doing to him back then. Safeties made less money than kickers.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Hamilton being the highest paid safety in the league may not last long, but he will still be the best safety. Is he the best safety in the league to you right now, Jeremy? Do you agree with PFF?
I love Derwin James. You guys know how much. That's the reason I didn't want him to draft Lamar. I wanted him to draft Derwin James that year. There's what he can do, and he's been labeled a Swiss Army knife, and I've never seen something more accurate for a defensive player on that side of the ball. And I do think eventually he could be your leader. All right now, you would say it's Roquan, right? But nope. I think, you don't think so? Who do you think it is?
I think it's him. I think it's him now.
I think that's Roquan's defense. Middle linebacker.
Yeah.
Calling. Yeah.
I don't think so. I just don't. I think it's the defense. The defense belongs to the guy that you plan around and build around. Roquan may be the vocal leader or whatever you have, but that is Kyle Hamilton's defense. You build around Kyle Hamilton.
Well, I'm not saying, no, I'm talking about the guy that's the leader out there. Like, there's no question in my mind it's Roquan. Roquan's vocal. You look at him calling the plays. He's the one getting the defense together, talking about all the things that are going on, hyping him up before the game. I think that's his defense. But I agree with you. I think the best player on that side of the ball is Hamilton.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. It should be. This to me is a very intriguing year for the defense because I want to see Ed exactly how good they become if they have improved. I want to see how good they become.
I think they're going to be very, very good. I think they've become really good, improved quite a bit. And they were good anyway. That's what's frustrating about this.
Yeah. Let's go out to the phone line right now. Let's go to Baltimore and get Marcus.
Marcus.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
What's up?
Not much, man. How are you?
Darling.
So I'm going to give my funny story about Kyle Hamilton on draft night and then my surprise pick that I think we should look out for this season. So, like, me and my homeboy, I would go back and forth about, like, draft picks, like, who do you want? So once the pick came in about Kyle Hamilton, I was a little mad. Because I can't remember who I wanted at the time. I think it was like an offensive guy. And my homeboy texted me. He was like, "Hey, we just drafted Chinese Ed Reed." I said, okay. All right. But the guy I think we should honestly look out for just because his pass rush win rate, and he was about the same size as Aaron Donald coming out, is Aeneas Peoples. I sat back and I watched that guy, and his win rate is ridiculous for one. Like, he gets the club over, he gets past his guy like a good about like 85% of the time. Like, I've watched that. I'm just like, this guy has a lot of similar. I'm not saying he's going to be Aaron Donald because Aaron Donald's a freaking nature. But if you watch his pass rush win rate, it is kind of ridiculous. But you guys have a good day.
Couple things real quick, just so.
By the way, it's Korean, not Chinese.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say.
That's why I want to correct that.
We'll square that right away.
Yeah, I want to get that out of
here. I thought you were going to throw an Oriental in there. I swear to God, I thought that was coming.
But he was born in Greece.
Yeah, his dad's Greek and American,
yeah,
and his mom is Korean, right? Now I thought Now I forgot the other part I wanted to bring. This is my brain is trash.
It's something today.
Are you like this is every day now? Yeah. I keep losing my train of thought of what I'm talking about. So if you ever hear me vamping, like, what the hell is he?
Before I brought you back on track.
Thank you.
You started, you know, I said, what time was you building me a watch? And I said, no, get back to the time is it? Like, it's
like, oh, God. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I already forgot what I was going to say.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Because you know, if we didn't correct that, we'd have been blamed.
Yeah.
You guys said, no, we didn't say it. Well, they said it, and you didn't correct them, so we had to correct that. Talk O's Tigers at 9 o'clock. Recap that series, getting ready for the Angels that they come into town tonight. But on the other side, Ed Norris, you going to do hockey recap for us?
Yes, sir. A lot to talk about here. Interesting game last night. The new king was crowned. There's some good stuff going on in the NHL right now.
Hockey recap up next on The Fan.
Pickard, now Kulak. Held in by Verhaeghe. Now across. Tkachuk with it. Score! Reinhardt! Battle for the puck. Reinhardt with it. Steps away from Nugent Hopkins. Ahead for Barkov. Taken away from him. Here is a blast by Love, and he scores!
That courtesy of TNT as the Oilers win in overtime. Yeah, three out of these four games have gone to overtime. This is the same as last year. Very tight series. Again, you know, it's like the two best teams in hockey. I feel better about it because this is, if one rolled over the other, it would suck. Because
you know, you almost feel the same way about the NHL Stanley Cup Final that you do about the NBA Finals. One team pre-series was predicted to run away with things, mm-hmm. and it's not happened in both. Because all I heard was how much Florida was going to destroy them.
Well, that was for me.
Well, not just, no, why just
other
you?
People, yeah, it wasn't just you. That. But, I mean, they were, I think, the favorites because of the brand of hockey they play.
Right. And all is about it.
I'll tell you what the difference, there's a couple of things going on here. The last game, when the Oilers got their asses handed to them, they played Florida's game.
Mm-hmm.
The Oilers... The Panthers, who led the league in the regular season in penalty minutes, because they play a very physical brand of hockey, and they do it on purpose. They rough you up, and they're willing to sit in the penalty box because they have one of the best, you know, penalty kills in the game. So you're rarely going to score on them. I think their penalty kill is almost 89%. So you're talking about you out of 10 times, 10 you know, power plays, you're going to score once essentially on average. That game they had 55 penalty minutes for the Panthers. 85 for the Oilers. Unheard of. 85 penalty minutes. Couple of ejections. A fight. It's like stuff you don't see like that. And certainly not with the Edmonton Oilers. Last night's game, 8 penalty minutes each side. 8. That's almost impossible. You're talking about a couple of minors. That's really, really impossible. However, credit goes. We always talk about guys. And if you want to think quickly about any sport, who is the guy in your sports memory as a fan who stepped up in the postseason? Reggie Jackson, Mr. October, you know, guys who step up when the lights are the brightest, when everything's on the line.
You mean traditionally that's their
reputation.
Michael Jordan,
right?
Yeah,
got a bad reputation.
Yeah, bad. I mean the reputation is like when everything's on the line and the pressure is at its highest, who doesn't crumble?
Joe Montana,
right.
Peyton Manning. Shut up, guys.
Well, I tell you.
Not Pepe.
Not Pepe. I think Leon Draisaitl's got to be in that category. Because, I talk about him all the time. We all know his name. You talk about him during the year. Always one of the best scorers in hockey, along with his teammate, Connor McDavid. He does it again last night. I mean, first of all, the Oilers came back. At the end of the first period, by the first intermission, the Panthers were up 3-0. 3-0. In the Stanley Cup final, teams up 3-0 at the end of the first period.
Over.
37-0 in history.
Over.
37-0 in history. Right? It's unheard of for these guys. They come back. The puck was spread around a lot of guys. scored. It wasn't one guy dominated during the regulation time. And one of my favorite names in, you know, in hockey now, because of all the difficult names they have, is Darnell. There's a Darnell on the Oilers. Darnell Nurse. He had a goal on defenseman for the Oilers. Anyway, Draisaitl in this postseason has had four overtime goals. That means he won four games for them.
Draisaitl.
Huh?
Sounds like something you need ointment for.
Anyway, he had an overtime goal against the Kings, against the Golden Knights, and two against Panthers, and the Panthers again. That's impressive to me.
He did it twice against the Panthers?
Yes.
Jeez. The Panthers? Those guys is good.
I haven't said a word the entire time you put on hockey.
This is when you decide to get your act together.
The Panthers.
We got a good one from Scott. He said, what about Tiger Woods?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was another one.
Absolutely. And I was looking throughout history. He's had 30 points in his book. You know how many people have had multiple 30-point playoff runs in the history of? Not many.
LeBron Gretzky, and Jordan. No, oh, you're talking about
hockey.
Hockey.
No surprise, Wayne Gretzky has six.
Yeah.
The rest, it's Mark Messier with three, Connor McDavid with three, Leon Draisaitl with three. 30-point postseason.
Oh, you're saying the two guys on the same team have done it?
Yes.
That's absurd,
yeah.
Man.
And last night, he had a goal and two assists, so that's so, three more points.
If I was a hockey fan, that would probably be my favorite team.
The Oilers?
Yeah. Just because, like, again, it's, like, taking away where you live and everything. Like, I pull for the Caps, but I don't care. Yeah. Honestly, you know, like, I just hope both teams play hard. That's what I want. But like, watching that style is more appealing to me than watching bully-type hockey. Mm-hmm. But that's my preference.
Yeah. I get it, and they're very talented. They really are. See, I couldn't because their logo sucks, and I couldn't wear it. Yeah. So, you know, that's how I pick teams.
Yeah, but it's...
See, I like the bully.
I like the finesse teams.
Yeah. I want to go smash you in the mouth.
Since I'm a kid, like, I was a fan of, like, the Flyers when I was, like, 13 years old, and they were called the Broad Street Bullies.
Well...
Dave Schultz, you know, was this guy. You know?
I like...
Number eight.
What do I defend in football? Wide receivers.
Right.
What are they? Mostly finesse. Lynn Swann took ballet lessons to get the toe tapping down on the sideline, and I love that.
Oh, I love that too.
Who was the Chargers wide receiver that was like a gazelle? Why can't I think of the guy's
Boston?
Name?
Boston?
No. Long time ago.
Like, Lance Allworth?
Lance Allworth, yeah. Like, he was another one of those guys that kind of had
Bambi.
That. Yeah. I couldn't think of the nickname, yeah. But I love, as much as we talk about physicality can beat out finesse, I love finesse. Yeah. I love watching those types of games.
Well, physicality is not winning the series. It's knotted up now at 2-2. So, you know, not so much right now. And then they took one at home. They took one at home from the Panthers. So, see, I didn't say Panthers that time.
No, you focused.
I thought about Panthers. It. Yeah.
I like when focused. I like when the New York comes out of Ed unexpectedly. Hey, down in Cuba. I do that on purpose because that one pisses him off. There's no R at the end of... Anyway.
There's no R in our... We don't even use R's. That's the problem.
Is it the Long Island guys that do it? Somebody does it.
It's different. It's different. We don't use... The problem is there is no R. Car.
Like, New York.
Yeah, New York.
Like, we were arguing over... Ed, how
the
do
W.
You, how do you say that sweet, delicious treat? Like, it's
chocolate.
What is it?
Chocolate.
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 It's like there's not even... Chocolate.
That's you said to put the W in it. Chocolate.
Chocolate. Yeah. We're not all Sylvester Stallone.
Why is everything a W, though?
I don't know. Yeah. They say the Boston accent and the New York accent are the two accents in the United States that are most closely tied to how people spoke during the Revolutionary War times.
Good.
I don't know why, but that's why they're very similar, because Pak de Khan, Havid Yad.
Yeah.
It's not that different from New York. I mean, it's just...
I don't know why I love the Irish accent and I hate the Boston accent. I hate you.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Do you like anything about Boston?
I don't mind the Celtics. Do I like anything?
I don't like anything about Boston. I don't like anything about it.
I think it's the Black Rose.
You know what? Look.
Huh? The Black Rose. I don't think I like about Boston. It's just my favorite.
I'm an NBA fan, and I love the history of the Celtics, man. I love going back and looking at Bill Russell's career.
I was a Laker fan.
I get that. But for me, it's the only Boston team I don't dislike.
Let me explain something to you. I don't like the Cowboys anymore. But I still hate that Washington team. Just because as a kid, There's a long history for that.
4-10-5-8
But to understand that, too, growing up without a football team, you were a Cowboys fan, right?
Well, I'll tell you, it's multiple reasons. I like the star, the flash, and all of that. And I told you, I hated my stepdad. He was a Redskins fan.
Oh, perfect.
Perfect setup. So one day when I saw him, yay, they would play the Cowboys. It was one of those.
What about the cheerleaders?
I love the cheerleaders. I loved them as a kid. Why? Am I not supposed to like the cheerleaders?
I was just surprised you left that out.
Did you guys know, you watch The Office, Ed?
Yeah, of course.
Phyllis?
Yeah.
She's a Ryder?
Former Cowboys cheerleader.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Look it up.
No way.
Former Cowboys cheerleader.
I saw that on the show.
Really?
It was a trivia question or something?
Yeah. Former Dallas Cowboys cheerleader.
So if it's a lie, then Jeremy ain't the only one that does it. Danielle Allen took a tremendous article about former Oriole, the late Brian Mattis. She'll join us at 9:15 to talk all about it. But on the other side, the Daily Line, Jeremy Kahn.
Oh, we're going to get into all the plays today. There's a lot of good weather situation. I got the NBA, the WNBA play that I like. I do want to talk extensively about a couple of games because when we look at the weather and the impact it can have, I always talk about rain and heat. We're going to get into that and the humidity that might be coming to Baltimore and D.C. a little bit later today. That's up next on The Fan.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
And Vest powers a heater past Holiday. The Tigers take the series 4-1 behind some brilliant pitching, largely from Tarek Skubal. And then a four-run outburst and a four-batter spin. Home runs from Dylan Dingler and then Parker Meadows three batters later. O's dropped 2-3 in the series, 27-40. And they'll try to get back on their winning ways against the Angels tomorrow.
There you go. That's what's that, Kurt? Is that Masson?
Yes.
Kevin sorry. Masson. I just wanted to make sure. I just want to make sure it wasn't like when they're on Apple tonight. Who's calling the game on Apple? Is any of our guys part of that? Because usually they bring in a color analyst, right?
Well, we'll have Heidi Watney on later on. We'll ask her.
Okay. Cool. I like Heidi.
We're going to be on national TV Sunday on Roku. I'll be on that one.
Yeah, I'm
next Sunday, not this Sunday.
I'm not watching that one
from New York.
I don't want to see it.
You know what? Jeremy says that, and then when I see him Monday, he'll tell me, "Dude, he'll."
Shut up, bro.
Tell me everything. Tough guy on the radio. Go ahead, tough guy.
Yeah. Big head taking up the whole screen. Can't even see the... Did you know he has a co-host on the... They just can't fit in the screen with his head. Anyway.
Well, he can't go to Toronto anymore. It's a dome stadium. Yeah.
He thought it was named after him.
Dome.
Yeah. He's there. All right, let's do this. I am going to start tweaking how I do the Daily Line. If you listen close enough, you'll know where I'm leaning and what I like. I mean, I've been like tweaking with some of this stuff and looking at games, and I had a winning day yesterday, went 3-1, got pissed off at the Orioles because they went with the opener, and I had Dean Kramer over K's. He would have got there. He was great if you watched him pitch last night, except for that one inning. But yeah, once I talked about it in the morning and they went with an opener, it changes everything because then those props get pulled down. They're not going to have strikeout props on domestic sports books for guys that are coming in after the opener, even though it's silly because they always feel like the guy coming in after the opener, you don't know how long he's going to go.
Right.
Even if it is a regular starter who usually pitches the whole game.
A hit and start.
No. So it got taken down. That's why I was 3-1 yesterday in the plays I gave out. But here's what we're going to look at today. So there's a bunch of different things. MLB weather. Orioles and Nats. I need to point out something. I talk about this all the time. You can play the over in either one of these games. It's going to be 90 degrees here and in D.C. The Nats are at home.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a little bit of rain in the forecast. I talk about this all the time. When there's rain in the forecast and it's hot, the humidity goes through the roof. The humidity, it takes a toll on the starting pitchers. You see how much they're sweating. I mean, have you ever seen Carlos Rodon come off the field and you're like, damn, dude, did you get in the shower with your jersey on? I think he changes jerseys like 3 times a game. Like it's so it gets soaked, man.
Can I tell you something?
What?
Something probably inside behind enemy lines or behind the lines rather, not enemy. Did you know in that game Sunday, that Sugano of Sunday he pitched, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had two other jerseys hanging up in the dugout. He's ready to switch, ready to change them jerseys.
Really?
Yeah.
I talked about this with some of the Asian ball players coming over and dealing with the humidity. Remember, like I used to joke about Koji all the time. That dude was just, I felt bad for him. I wanted to run out to the mound down in Texas and just start tapping his forehead. He was just, look like, get some windshield wipers there to clear out his eyes. But yeah, so like looking at these games with a little bit of rain in the forecast, humidity picks up. The ball tends to carry when it's hot. Pitchers get tired, you know, they're throwing over. You're sweating your ass off. I just think it has a huge impact in the game. So the O's over, Nats over look like good plays. The O's over is 10. The Nats over is 9. The Mets under is the best weather situation today. I'll go over the pitching matchup in a second. A's under, Dodgers under. I'm not on the A's under. I'm going to play the Mets under at 8, even though there's more money coming in. The weather just supports it so much that I'm tired of getting away from these great spots just because I see a little bit more money coming in, and I hate being with the public if you've ever heard me talk about this. So all those plays look good. Just real quick with the NBA and WNBA, I just want to throw them out there. I like the Thunder -6. I think they bounce back. I like the Dream tonight -12.5. You know, Ed, your favorite team, Atlanta Dream.
Yes.
They're playing the Chicago Sky, and the Sky are just dreadful right now. Dreadful.
Dreadful.
So bad. But in baseball, looking at the plays we have today, I think there are some really good spots to attack. We mentioned the Rays and Mets under. You could look at the Orioles over being at 10. Charlie Morton and the Orioles are -175 today. Jack Kakanowicz, and let me just throw this at you, he grades out as the worst pitcher on the slate today, according to the algorithm, Drink. And then when you look at it, with the heat, the humidity, he hits too many bats. He gives up hard contact. He's a fly ball pitcher. I like the Orioles tonight. I'm sorry. I just think it's a really good spot for them, even with the heavy price tag. I like the Blue Jays today, +100. That's Kevin Gausman on the bump for them. They're going up against the Phillies, against Ranger Suarez. I think the Cubs are interesting at 220. The under was interesting, too, with the weather kind of supporting it. It's a lower total at 7. It's Paul Skeens, and you get like a young pitcher for, what's the kid's name, Cole? Here, I'm blanking on the Cubs starting pitcher's name. But anyway, looking at him, you have a guy in Coleslaw. No, Cade Horton. I was way off. Cade Horton for them is, again, another young pitcher. I don't think it's overwhelming. Like, he's going to come in and strike out a ton of guys. I think his prop's usually around 4.5. Solid player. It's the Pirates offense. I think that's really what you're looking at with the wind slightly blowing in at Wrigley, about 8 miles an hour. As I said, that stadium is more affected by wind than any other stadium. But I like the Cubs here. Paul Skeens has one win. They don't score runs for him. So why would I be willing to bet on Paul Skeens today? Because they just don't.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is worse than when DeGrom won the Cy Young.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a terrible idea to lose. Was he 10-11, I think, that year?
Well, I remember when Roger Clemens had a one-run ERA, below one-run ERA on the road, and he didn't have a winning record on the road.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Whatever, the Astros, right?
Yep. And a couple other spots today. Like I mentioned, the Nats over looks like a good play. The Reds and Tigers under of 8. Now, that's Keeter Montero going up against, who is it for the Reds? I just blanked on who it was. Nick Martinez. And Nick Martinez, solid pitcher. I think he can limit the damage with the Tigers. Tigers offense, we've seen it. It's a little wanting. They can run into it every once in a while. But I like this matchup here with the weather supporting it, with the wind blowing in. I think the under is a good play there. I gave that out as a free play. And I think, you know, if you start looking at the nightcap, San Fran LA's got a great pitching matchup. Yamamoto versus Logan Webb. And I was looking at Logan Webb's numbers. Logan Webb against the Dodgers has only given up more than 2 runs in his 14 times facing them, 3 times. So it's always been 2 or 1 run. He's eating up the 6 innings or none. And I think he's been very successful against them. So I think he can keep them at bay a bit. The same thing with Yamamoto. If he's on, last time he's only faced the Giants once. Last time he faced them, he gave up 4 runs. Only 2 of them were earned, and he only gave up 4 hits. So it's kind of telling you, like, when he's on, he's on. So I think the Dodgers under looks pretty good as well. So to recap, if you're looking at some of the spots, the Orioles, you're looking at the some of the high-scoring games, great weather in Baltimore, great weather in D.C., pitching weather in Detroit. I think the pitching matchup's great, and with the Dodgers, the Rays and Mets have the best pitching weather of the day, and I like the Thunder tonight, so do with that what you will.
There you go. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Danielle Allentuck joins us at 9:15, but on the other side, going to take a look at last night's loss to the Tigers and take a sneak peek at tonight's game against the Angels, which Jeremy says will be a win. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. Orioles baseball up next on The Fan.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.